Okay. The first foremost, one of our Talmidim is not here today because of the simcha of a girl. Kenny Yeager had a girl, and Mazel Tov Tianki as well, who had a granddaughter. And also want to dedicate this year the Yilul Nishpas, the unfortunate passing of Chana Liora Rosenfield, who was a young girl, Nebuch, who was friendly with her father. And Nebuch, she had cancer and unfortunately could not recover from it. Our father's name is Daniel, but we knew her as Chana Liora Basinda Chashachava. Nebuch, she was sick for a very long time, and unfortunately, so funeral's tomorrow morning in Eretz Yisrael. And they had one thing to take out of it, a tremendous amount of bitachon and Hashem through this whole ordeal, having to move from Eretz Yisrael here for all the different surgeries. The mises of the death of young children is very, very difficult for us to understand, but we know that it's some form of kapara, and the mitzvah Hashem should be a kapara. We're going to basically leave off where we did on the Shavuos, and that was we discussed the inyan of Schar Shabbos, and specifically about the Chavim getting a Schar. And we're going to round off and finally finish the halachos of a Chazan in the halachos of, I think, a very interesting inyan that's all of a sudden kind of put in here. So before we start the Mar Makomos, if you, I'll just read you the page before what the Shulchan Aruch has to say. And that is, it's not on your sheet. It says in Chav Gimel Tzibur Shetzrichim Leschor Rav Ushliach Tzibur. This is very interesting halacha. If a shul has to pay, they can only nobody wants to come to their shul for free, obviously. They can either pay a rav or they can pay a chazan. V'ein b'yodim k'dev skor shneihem. They don't have money to pay both of them. Im hu rav muvhak the gadol b'torah. If it was a rav, it's hard to define, but a person who's a rav muvhak with gadol b'torah. He's on a high level of probably paskening, and he's a gadol b'torah, ubaki b'hora. So it's not just that, many, many different facets, who code him, right? So if he's a big rav, he's known as a big rav, he's a gadol b'torah, and he's a baki in giving not only aitzes, but paskening halacha, v'im lav, but if not, shliach tzibur code him. So unless he's a really big rav, the shliach tzibur comes first. So obviously the caveat of the shaila is, it used to be, even times of the Shulchan Aruch, the shliach tzibur had a lot more to do than we have nowadays. And that is that people did not know how to daven, didn't have sidurim, and he was the one who davened for everybody. He knew how to say the Shemoneh Esrei, he knew how to say the Chazor HaShashat, and that was obviously why the Chazor HaShashat was invented. And therefore it was very needed because people couldn't daven without him. So that's probably the function of that halacha. Right, so probably I would say that the halacha doesn't apply. The only problem is, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Af al gav the yachzer lahem al yedei zem mitzvah tefila shlo yil lahem nish yotzi midei chavasam. Right, that obviously the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a case that's not going to be yotzi midei chavasam, and therefore they have no choice. But it's more important to have a rav mufak in this case. It's better to have it. Obviously, the question is, he doesn't know how to daven. I don't understand. I would be halacha. Because of Godo Shechiyav Bechol Ir Lazer. Because of Bechuvas Chazam Soifer Chelik or Achayim, the Chol Anshe Yair Mechayivim Litain Lazer. Right, everybody's thinking money, that's fine. So what's interesting is he, Mishnah Berurah himself, should discuss that I would seem by that time it was becoming, people were able to daven. But nowadays it's probably not. So here's the next halacha, and this is where we lead into our halacha. And that is, Ein b'salchim chazin mi'munaso, ela im kein nimsa bo puzzle. We don't take a chazin out of his job, which is him being a chazin, this is his full-time job, unless we find that he's puzzle. So we're going to define, what does that mean, he's puzzle? So then the Mishnah Berurah says, Ein b'salchim oiso mishum, Ranun ba'alma. He can't be taken out of his position because only because his voice is not good anymore. right? It can't be that he has a bad voice, because I assume at one time he had a good voice. So his voice has gotten a little scratchy in his old age. So you can't take him out for that, right? The chazan should have it's one of the halachas. He should have a nice kol. He should have a good voice, but that's not the reason to take him out. Kigon shiyotza alav shame. So what's the reason? Kigon shiyotza alav shame shenitpas im kusis o shemoser adam avals, right? It's a really, really bad things. So he got a motzi shame ra that he did very, very, very bad things. He was moser somebody. Aval im bo'o. So now you could look at your sheets. Because that's the that should be. Bar love. She has the sheets. Yeah. We have more guests. Packing up. So he says, again, so this is page 168. Imba'u, Allah, Eidim Bazek, Yosi Bazek, Mavirim Oiso, right? Okay, so if there's Eidim that he did, this is a really, really strict case where we would say that he's not good anymore. The Shlech Shiva Shu Shochet Ubaduk, Lo Yispal, the Godim, Hatsonim Umachsrichim. So, an obvious halakha that if he's not only the Chazan, but he knew he has to make a lot of money, he's also the Shochet. So now he comes to Mincha, he comes to Mincha and he just finished doing a shechita of an animal, and he's wearing the his white doctor's coat, and he's got blood all over it, and he goes, oh, I'm sorry, I'm late, and he goes up to Dan for the Yom, and obviously that's not appropriate for him to have blood on his begodim. He should change. Vim eino rotze lahachlis begodim b'shas atfila ules pal ma'vir noisoy. Right? He has to do that. B'shlech tibor. So I just did exactly what the problem is. The person who's mitbatel, he all of a sudden, I guess, starts to skip words or things of that nature, or he starts singing Goyish and Negunim, right? I'm assuming that that's, or the famous, I remember when I was a kid, I forgot to tell a story, but I remember as a kid, I was so happy the first time when I was watching TV and they did the recap. It was on many channels back when I was, I'm a crazy YouTuber. We used to have TVs in my house. And so they were doing on Motzei Shabbos, I think, they do the recap of all the college games. So when they do the recap, what song do they play? The famous song, Yiras Hashem, Kiddusha, Kiyei Maso, Liriyah. That's also a Goyish thing. And I said to my parents, it was unbelievable. Go, how do they know this tune from Bichos the Muslim? It's unbelievable. So they said, the Goyish Nigga. So that's what he said. If the Chazan gets up there, Nebuch, and he starts to sing, Naritzcha, the Kedusha in the Nigun of, Le Miz, so, it's a problem. It's not Maisa Shahaya to me, but, whatever. If you know where it was, it tastes like. So you should tell him that he's not allowed to do this. He shouldn't do this to him. Eino Shomea Mavir Noisai. Shliach Sibor. Oh, here we go. Shliach Sibor she hazikam v'rotza l'menois b'no l'sayeh l'parakim. Right? Af al pi she'ein kol b'no orev kikolo im memale mekomo b'sha'ar devarim b'no kodim l'chol ech l'chol adam. V'ein hatzib yachos l'mechos b'yada. So now you have the case where it starts off where the father now can't finish, and so they let the son finish. So this would again... this might be a quick case of Metzius, as we said before. Nowadays, our Chazan is much, much different than the original Chazan. The original Chazan was the Chazan. He dominated everything, and they needed him to dominate everything. So now, he can't correct it out to get to the Musaf, so he lets his son start Musaf. But even in the later case, which the Mishnah Berurah is going to discuss, is what happens, which we'll discuss, really two cases we're going to discuss tonight. The first case is, does the son now have a taina if the father now steps down? Right, he realizes Nebuch, he's only doing Goyish and Negunim, and that's what he wants to do, and he has to step down. Does his son have any shaychus to get Yerusha in this? Meaning, is it a father and son business?
It was premature when he stepped
down? Well, the reason why I don't say if he died is because that's going to be a machloikas.
If he retires.
If he retires, yeah, not premature. Not necessarily that he was kicked out.
According to this, happening in the middle of Tfilah. I mean, they did chakras from
the Muslim. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So it seems to be, according to the Ramah, what happened was, exactly, is that he, for some reason, can't finish. So instead of getting somebody else, it's going to be a big machloikis, because there are those achronim that say, no, what the Ramah is saying is that the son is always going to be the best, because what happens in general, a father has to teach, the Gemara in Kedushin says, he has to teach him a profession. So what is he going to do? He's going to teach him to be a plumber? He doesn't know how to be a plumber. What does he know how to do? He knows how to be a chazan. So he's been sitting with this kid from day one, teaching him how to do musaf, so of course he should get up. Or are we going to say no? That he goes kodim no matter what the situation is. So he quotes there, as you look on the side, the Tshuvas of the Rashba. The Tshuvas of the Rashba actually gives a different case, and that's the case that we're going to be discussing. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah here, so we'll see exactly what the case is. Let me just get to my... So the Mishnah Berurah says in Pei Gimel, what do you mean his child gets first? Oh, so the question is why? Where do we see that? Where does it come from? That's what the Rishis shares about. A Rav, right? Right. That's the famous Shaila. If Rav Shneur Cutler, when he passed away, so could there be a tumul in Lakewood that Rav Ari Makiel Cutler should take over? Or we say, no, it's Yerusha. Right? Or if somebody steps down. So, if you look at Pei Gimel, we'll see what the Salah is. Shliach Sibur, Shehizkin Vuhu Adin Mechal Ha Minuyim Gam Kein Beno Kodem. Right? In any case, the son goes first. Yafilu Yesh Achem Gedol Mimenu. So what happens in the case where you have more professional chazanim? He is always first. Kevan Shehu, that we believe that he takes over his son's, takes over his father's space. Yesh omrim, debechacham, right, so the question is going to be also, how far is this going to extend? What do we extend this to? You want to tell me it extends to a chazan? Fine. Does it extend to a rav? Right, that's obviously something that would be even on a higher level.
Give you a case.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the Al stuff. Yeah. Right, that's right. They said no. But they said that he could get it?
They said that the son had to be off of it
and he was up to the... Oh, yeah? Right. So that was in the Lower East Side, in the Bial Stock of Shul. So when, Rav Singer, right? So Rav Singer was Nifter. I remember that. My friend used to live there. So, this Shaila came up, if his son should really get it. So the question is, we're going to discuss as well, is this something that's a special stipulation in a contract? Is it not? I actually know cases where, I just was told today, that in Rav Matasiel Solomon's contract, the Mashkiach Ruchani of Lakewood, he had a sign that none of his children get Yerusha. And I was told that this is the same thing in Baltimore, the new Rosh Hashiva of Feldman also. So there shouldn't be any confusion. There's no Yerusha by this position. That's what they write in certain positions. Lakewood Yeshiva put it in. No. Lakewood, no. Why wouldn't he want his son to take over? Yeah.
These people actually have
contracts? No, so that...
No, this is the news.
Right, so that's something new. So it would appear that the Chazan doesn't, and it's just assumed that a Chazan gets to take over for his father. Right? I mean, that would appear... right, in all in Yonim, that the son would be able to take over. So the question is, what is the source of this? And what are we going to learn from this? And where can we apply it to? Also, just on the topic, we're also going to discuss the idea of a chazan having some sort of chazaka. Because we'll discuss cases where what happens where you have this chazan here, he has no children. And the chazan now steps down, he's not feeling well, Nebuch. And, so for 3 months, he's not the chazan anymore. All of a sudden, he shows up in shul. And nobody wants him to down for the omen anymore. They got a new chazan. All of a sudden, they hire a new chazan. Does he have any shaykhs to that? Or what happens if he moved out of the community? Right? He moves to Brooklyn, and he doesn't like Brooklyn. He comes back to Bergenfield. He wants to be the chazan now. What happened? They say, I'm nothing doing. You left the community. So those are the different shaylos we have to discuss. So if you look at... Let's see today. So if you look at the Bir Halacha, the Bir Halacha Shliach Sibur, Shehusim Bazeh B'Maisa Nishal HaRashba, right? So everybody quotes the famous Rashba over here in this page. Listen to this. Echa mishahu monoi kigon shahu sofer l'rabim o nachtum v'chol kahai gavna v'rocha she'echa disayeya ba'oso minu l'parakin bizman shahu enu yachol ha'rishus v'yodo li'en kos v'yodo l'hakel la'ake bed afilu im, right, so he was asked this question in two different ways. In both cases, he basically paskins that a person is would be allowed to take over the position no matter what the case is. So really what the Rashba is saying is, the Rashba holds that there's no special stipulation, meaning it doesn't have to be that the father is dabbing there now, and no, it doesn't matter. It would appear, according to the Rashba, although he doesn't say this, that if the father, the chazan, passes away, the son has the first cracks at taking over this position. And in many cases, this was a lofty position, not just the kavod, but he can get a lot of money, and therefore he would be able to. And what's interesting is that as the Rama says and the Rashba says, is that even if his voice is not so as good as the chazan, which could mean that his voice isn't so good bechlal, he still gets dibs over it because of who his father was. So the questions that are going to come, we want to discuss tonight, is where exactly does this come from? So if you turn over on the second side, so we'll discuss a number of different shilohs that's related to this. So the first shiloh is going to be, if you look at the Magen Avraham basically is just, basically just goes over what we saw over here, and he quotes basically our case. But really, if you don't mind, if we could skip for a moment to number two, because this is the Yoruch HaShulchan goes and gives us the full details of exactly what is going on here. And he says in Chav Zayin in number two, Kazav Rabbeinu HaRama B'Tzif Chav Hei, right, he quotes basically verbatim, Kishat Shehusu V'Rotze Limunoi B'no V'Sayev Parakim Apo Pi She'ein Kol B'no Arev Kikolo, right, so he's fine. So he quotes that, Ad Kadlin Shoyna. So now on the fifth line, B'Tzifri Parsha Shoftim, In Parsha Shoftim, he basically quotes, this is a Sifri, the man yarichu yamim v'gomer, hu banav the care of Yisrael, hu banav v'she'emes v'no, ome tachto v'emi, right? So this is talking about what case? The case of a melech. So the case of a melech is in Parsha Shoftim, right? It's a pasuk in the Torah. And the Torah tells us as follows. This is discussing about, as we know, appointing a king, and that he will be the king, and he'll get he has the Yerusha of being a king, the Malchus. And then it ends off by saying, the pasuk that ends this section off, says, Laman Yarichu Yamin Amulachto, Mimlachto, Hu Bano the care of Yisrael. So, quite literally, that not only that, does he continue in this tradition, it says he and his sons amid Israel. So this obviously is learning this. If we learn, what does it mean? This is what we learn from the pasuk, that the sons have the Yerusha of the Malchus first before anybody else, that they get to become king before, right? As we've seen this in the tradition of that happening. And Rashi over here in the pasuk says as follows, right? Rashi quotes the Sifri as well. Hu banav magad she'im b'no hagun l'malchus, hu kodem l'chol adam. That if, and he adds a very important line, right, that if he's worthy, if he's hagun, then he gets to be king over everybody else. So if there was if David HaMelech passed away, right, and you had Shlomo HaMelech, was it Melech? You have Shlomo, maybe their last name was Melech, and you have Shlomo, and Shlomo's a great person, but there was somebody who was more worthy to be king, so that person should be it. Many of the Mefarshim discuss this, a beautiful inyan. If you look at the Mefarshim and Parsha Shoftim, a few weeks, if you want to go a few weeks ahead, about discussing the chiluk here of, as we know, if you look in the Novi's, of the different kingdoms that there were, and the different fights about who, which one of the sons would get it, and so on and so forth, that this is all an inyan of, as we know, Baruch Hashem, we believe, that it all has to do with being Basher, that there are certain times where the Yerusha did not work, where we did not want the son to take over, and the son, Baruch Hashem, did not take over, and there are times where the son took over, be it maybe the youngest son, and so on and so forth. The whole idea that the Rashi brings out is that it has to be Hagun. And this was actually Gemara in Horius that's discussed whether or not this plays true. So if we could recap for a second, the Orach HaShulchan is basically taking a pasuk from the Torah. He says that this is based on the Sifri. The whole idea that there's a Yerusha, whether it be in right now we're discussing a Chazan, or whether it be in Rabbanus maybe, or whether it be in a Shochet, or whatever the situation is, comes from a Meforish Pasuk in the Torah, telling us that the Melech, when he will have the Yerusha for all of his days, him and his sons, and therefore him and his sons, Rashi Darshan, as long as he's Hagan, he should get it. So what obviously should jump out to us according to Rashi? He has to be Hagan, and according to the Ramah, it's not necessarily that the person's Hagan. I mean, what does Hagan mean? He's worthy. So, right, that's obviously. Nobody's going to say that this is a Mitzvah Midoraita that a Chazan has to take over. And the question is, can we generalize, as the Ramah apparently did, and say this is what we get, that we hold in Judaism, as opposed to secular law, that, if you're, I assume this is a religious position, and you couldn't take this to the extreme of, you know, if you write to business, right? That would be the question. And this comes up a lot, right? In business, let's say, not a public health company, and so he owns a company called Hartstein & Hartstein, and now Hartstein decides to move to Israel. So the question is, does Yaakov Hartstein now get the position as president of the company? Or is the vice president going to say, no, what are you doing? I've been working my whole life under Hartstein. I finally want to get the position. How can you do this to me? Are we going to say that we're going to go as far? Or probably it's only in these Kodesh positions of something that has to do with Zavodah HaKodesh, right? People actually make the relation between the Kohanim and the Levium, and what happened in those cases. So the Gemara in Horius brings this case as well. In Horius and Daf Yud Aleph on the days, so it discusses this pasuk. Ravacha bar Yaakov dechsiv l'man yericho yomim ad m'lachato Yerusha. This is talking about Yerusha. So then he discusses this idea. It obviously applies to the bane, right? And he says, how far does it go? So he says, very interesting. Amar Rapapa. Rapapa says, Amar Krahu Banov, the care of Yisrael, the Zman Sheshalom the Yisrael, Karina. This is talking about a pasuk when there's peace within Israel. But Vayhu Banov Yafilu below Mashiach. So then he says, we need something else to teach us that maybe in a case where there's no there's war, so maybe it wouldn't be. He quotes by Melech David, so on and so forth. This is a whole Gemara that discusses the idea of how far we go when it comes to Yerusha, meaning does Yerusha continue midor v'dor? Does it have specific ramifications? Again, it's specifically talking about Malchus. So according to the Orach HaShulchan, where is the Ramah getting this whole halacha? It's not discussed in Shulchan Aruch. Where does he get it from? He gets it from this pasuk about melech. So quite obviously, we can ask a lot of questions on this, and we can say, well, this is talking about a melech, who says it's talking about a chazan. What happened to Rashi's term hagun? Right? What happens if you have a case where a person is not hagun, meaning in the position of being a melech, let's say. So you need to have certain characteristics. And if you don't have those characteristics, you shouldn't be a melech. So too by a chazan. If you don't have certain characteristics, you shouldn't be a chazan. I.e., if you have a bad voice, you probably shouldn't be a chazan. But Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about a case of a person who, this is not talking about Yerusha, but talking about a case of Chazaka, where, what happens if you had a case where the person was not Hagan? So the case was is that you had two Chazanim. One had a better voice than the other, but one was known for his great voice because of all the famous publicity that he got in the conservative shul that he was the Chazan of. So the question was, if the two are against each other, you have one who's orthodox and one who's conservative, who wins out? Do we say, no, it doesn't matter if the guy's not as, so he says, as only Rav Moshe Feinstein can say, if the person who is in the conservative really doesn't believe that he's in the conservative shul because he believes in that branch of Judaism, kiviyachol, then he says it's nothing. The guy's doing it for a job. But if he admits he'll never step foot in there anymore and he realizes what he was doing is wrong, so then he's a chayzer b'tshuva. So you can't say anything wrong about him. If, however, he says, "Listen, I'm going to stay in the shul all the time, but the second the shul's over, I'm going to go there because they're just starting musaf, and I'm going to do musaf there," then you have a serious problem. And that's what the question becomes. So let's continue in the and see what else the Oruch HaShulchan has to say. So basically, this is where we get the halacha from. So let's look in Chaf Tet. Menirli the Emes Divri has to free Eino Inyon Klal Le Shchiros Shas V'Rav the has to free the Bia Rak the Panosom She Amadim Oso Lechabit Ba'Alma Aval Kishat Tibor Sirchim Shas Tischiros Ma Shayach Lomar She Beno Kodim V'Hare Yochol Lomar Lach Ritzonu Litein Maos V'Lo Levonov. Right, so he's saying yes, this applies to the case. It's very interesting. This applies to a case where, according to the Sifri, this would apply to a case of no she'eino inyon klal schiras, that we're not talking about money, meaning, well, let's just say, for argument's sake, the chazan is getting paid a certain amount of money, and now the chazan passes away, or he steps down, and now his son comes, and his son says, listen, my father was, everybody knows my father was the greatest chazan in all of Poland, and he was getting paid 100,000 zlotys, I don't know, whatever. He was getting paid so much money. What do they have in Poland?
That's a dollar.
Slot, yep. Mm-hmm. He's a dollar. He's getting paid whatever, zlotys, and so, new, this is what I got to be paid. And everybody starts laughing. They go, look at you. You're 20 years old. You don't even have a good voice. We have to pay you $100,000. We paid him $100,000. We didn't pay him $100,000 until his 40th year. Well, we should pay you the same. But that's not all he's saying. He's saying, no, what are they going to say to him? You want the position? Fine. You know how much money we're going to pay you? Zippo! Right? That's what they're saying. If he wants the cover so much to be the chazan, very good. Take it for free. Right? And this is the same case he's saying, maybe the same case by Rabbanus as well. Your father was a rav. He came here when he was a rav. We didn't have any money to pay him. We paid him $10,000 a year. And then he came and all of a sudden he started to give great shurim and he started to bring people to the shul. We love him now. So now we're paying him $200,000 a year. The kosher, you just got smicha. You just got out of the smicha program. You want us to pay you the same amount of money? No. You want to be rav of the shul? Fine, no problem. But you know how much we're going to pay you? Shalom. We're going to give you a pat on the back. That's how much we can pay you. So that would be, that's what he says. It's a very interesting concept because the question is, it didn't apply by melech, right? So whatever the melech got. They're not going to say, they said to Shlomo HaMelech, listen, I know you got the last name of Melech, so we have to make you Melech because your father was Melech, so on and so forth. But I'm really sorry, you know that really nice palace? I'm sorry, you can't live there. But do us a favor and build a base of Megdash. So, I'm not so sure. Obviously, I don't understand it appropriately, but where he's saying that this is definitely what we're talking about. Meaning, the chutzpah of this chazan to say, thank you very much for paying me this much money, but you know what, I can't do it anymore because my voice isn't so good. So you know what, do me a favor. Instead of writing the check out to D. Hartstein, write the check out to Y. Hartstein. This guy's going to do it over here, my son. So, yeah, but your son, he's 3.5 years old. I don't know. You know, do me a favor. Chutzpah, how can you do that? So he says, there's no way it applies to the case of Schiras. I mean, so what other cases does it apply? I'm not sure. Well, there's so many kilos where the chazan was doing it for free, I would be surprised. Right, so that obviously could be the case, and that's probably the more common case, actually, is that nowadays we don't have too many chazonim like this. So you have the case, which we're going to get to, of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? This is, Baruch Hashem, not in our shul, but in many shuls this becomes a very, very heated discussion, to the point where, give you an example, the Stam Sofer brings up this example, I can't believe this is true, but it's written in the Seich Emet. Seich Emet brings the following shiloh. There's a Rav who blows shofar every year, and through the years, so he's becoming weaker and weaker. So what he does is that he blows the first time the first 30 kolos, and then he has somebody else who does the other one. So they basically, the way the Tshuva says, he is the starter and the guy who is the reliever who pitches in. No pun intended. So the Rav, Nebuch, the first year, he gets up there to blow shofar, and he faints. Right? He can't do it. So they don't know what to do, so they call up the reliever, and they say, listen, I'm sorry, you got to be a starter pitcher now. So he's the starter. So he starts, he does a great job. The next year comes, the Rav, obviously the Rav is going to be the Rav, but he's going to do it. He gets up there, and he doesn't faint this time, Baruch Hashem. He had something to eat maybe before, but he doesn't feel well. He knows he can't do it. So instead of calling in the relief pitcher, he makes a signal to the bullpen, and he calls in another relief pitcher, a Rav. So the shuls go, what's going on here? What's going on? This guy is great. The reliever is great. Why can't he do it? So the Rav says, this is who I want. I want this. He's a Rav. He's more hodan. I want him to do it. Nope. So the somebody from the shul, let's say the president of the shul, comes up to the Rav and he says to the Rav, guess what? The reliever is the one who's going to blow shofar. And if you don't like it, go hear tear shofar somewhere else. Oh, nice shul. So they ask this question. He quotes this question in the name of the Sheol Tshuvos Sholem Eshev. And they ask the Sholem Eshev, who's right in this case? Right, because they'll puncture the case, right? Whenever you send the case to a Rav, about another Rav, obviously the Rav is going to win, right? No. He says, you're wrong. He says, the Rav was wrong. He shouldn't have gone to the bullpen and called out the other Rav to blow shofar. No, there's a chazaka here, right? There's no money exchanging hands. It has nothing to do with money. It has to do with who is the Seder Adipus, who goes first. So maybe this is the same case over here. You have a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? It's a covenant. Who's davening Ne'ilah? Who davens that? Every year, Ne'ilah is davened by so-and-so. And now this chazan, right? So he's not even really a chazan even, right? He's just, he's the guy who davens. During the year, nobody comes up to him and says, oh, chazan Hartstein, how are you? He's not on that level, right? You know, as we know, people, that's how you know if you're a real chazan or not. How do you know if you're a real chazan? When you get a wedding invitation, and it says on it your name, and the first is chazan, instead of mister. So this person's not even a chazan, right? He's just, he knows, you know, he's known as Joe. So they go, Joe, oh, Joe, how you doing? I can't do it this year, but my son. So maybe that's the case that he's talking about, the Orfa Shokhan. And in that case, so then the son would definitely get it, if no money's exchanging hands. But if money's exchanging hands, and all of a sudden, right, I told on Shavuos, right, the story about me blowing shofar. So now I'm going to say I blew shofar 1 year in the Fifth Avenue Synagogue, and they paid me a ridiculous amount of money, to which obviously the year after they realized it was a ridiculous amount of money, they didn't ask me to come back. But now the next year, what do I say to them? I say, listen, thank you very much for paying me so much money and for putting me up in a beautiful apartment on Park Avenue with 24 bedrooms, but you know what? I'm going to have my son do it this year. He's got one of those little toy shofars. He does it perfectly. And I want you to pay him the same amount of money. I'm not even going to come. So the question would be, is that, can it be? No. So when it comes to money, what a chutzpah, I'm going to say that? No. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. So let's go to Chav Tes now. V'lachein Rabbeinu HaRamal lo kitev din zeh shebeno kodem kishemeta'a v'rak v'zeh pasuk kishet, right? So he makes a diuk. Why doesn't the Ramah talk about if he died? No, it's not that great. Only if he stopped working. And he's still alive. Kol yimei chayav, o afilo, right? So it's interesting what he says. He goes as far as to say, as maybe we can say that not, so now it's going to be a temporary position, right? The father Nebuch falls ill. So then they say to the son, nu, maybe make your father feel better. You can down for the omen. Now the father dies and they say to the guy, nu, take a hike. We don't want you anymore. So it's really a very small Indian of who it can be. And then when he talks about Rabbanus and Laman, he says, what about a Rav? Does this apply to a Rav? So he says, no, lo shayach yirusha b'toro, v'chein masina b'chazal, shemei shahaya rosh gulula, haya, right, the person who was resh gulusa, so nobody said that b'no was yoresh. K'moshu matinu, actually the Gemara in Horus discusses a case similar to this, that it would not take over. So he says, no, it wouldn't take over by Rabbanus, which is very interesting because the case that always comes to my mind, and a case I didn't want to discuss, was, meaning to have the shir on that, so is there Yerusha by Rabbanus? Because you see a lot more, or there is a lot more Yerusha when it comes to Rabbanus, that's much more well known than it is. And Rabbanus, i.e., the whole Hasidic community, right? Right. So when a Hasidic Rebbe dies, Schmelkel, who was the assistant of the Rebbe, is not going to think that he's going to get it. And in fact, in many cases, you have these unbelievable gedolim who sat around the Rebbe, who every beck and call, some of them who wrote the tshuvas of the Rebbe, and so on and so forth, and the son, who's 24 years old, takes over, or 30 years old. There's no shaychus that it's going to go to somebody else. It's Yerusha when it comes to that. There's no question about it. And we hold it's Yerusha. And according to this end of the Aruch HaShulchan, obviously not Hasidish, but there's no Yerusha, there can't be Yerusha by Torah, right? In that specific position. So the question is, what is it, obviously this is more of a Hasidic thing, but when the Likvak, well, there are a lot of yeshivas where the Rosh Yeshiva took over. In some cases, it was Pashut, because the Rosh Yeshiva owned the yeshiva, right? It used to be that way. The Rosh Yeshiva actually owned the yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva really wasn't, he wasn't the, take for example, the Panovich Yeshiva. So the Panovich Rav, so he hired Rosh Yeshiva to give shiurim. He was the one who went around and collected the money. That's what he held was a Rosh Yeshiva. And therefore, so that position might have a Yerusha to it. Meaning, nobody's going to say that this person who's the Rosh Yeshiva has to be the Talmud Chacham of the entire Yeshiva. What are we saying? He takes over his father's place, whatever he's going to be doing. Caring for the money, making sure they have money in the Yeshiva. So that maybe is Yerusha position. Okay, we in modern day Yeshivas call that executive director. But here they call it the Rosh Yeshiva in many different kehilas. So the question becomes, if you really have the real, quote-unquote, Rosh Yeshiva, the Mashkiach Ruchani, so can his son take over? So maybe that's not shayach to say that his son should take over. Why? Because that's a very specific position, right? He's a person who gives the fire and brimstone drashas, who tells everybody that they're nothing, and they're destined to be nothing, and their children are nothing, and everybody's nothing, right? You're nothing, I'm nothing. And then all of a sudden he gets ill, and what does he say? My son, who's nothing, I want him to be the Mashkiach Ruchani of the Yeshiva. So that's when the little kid's going to get up to him and he goes, I remember my father said I was nothing, and so I don't know if that's so shayach. So that's why he says by Rabbanus that wouldn't apply. So we see, at least according to the Aruch HaShulchan, and others discuss this as well, whether or not this can be taken over. So just so to close this specific thing, the Isha Yisrael, which is a sefer that was maybe it's Hagan, right? That it has to be someone who's worthy. He says no. He says it's not Hagan. He says it doesn't apply b'chal. But obviously, yeah, that is what people say. People say that not even Hagan, but the person might even be worthy, but not worthy on the status of a Rosh Yeshiva. And you have to have that level, and it's very, very difficult to find somebody who's on the same level as the Rosh Yeshiva. That's why generally, most yeshivas don't have it. But then if you think about it, the yeshivas, the famous yeshivas that have been around for generations, right, with Moshe's yeshiva. So nobody questions his son's devotion. What? Yeah, it's all the yeshiva. I'm saying even here, Lakewood. So Lakewood, not only that, but Lakewood came from Eretz Yisrael back here. So, what? Right, Samir, right, yeah.
A lot of modern traditions were even with the smaller yeshivas, what ended up happening. Well, they would have a conflict, and then the conflict would just lead to a split off.
Right. So you have by the Brisker, the Brisker.
Or the other way around, where there's not enough people to actually muster a conflict.
Right.
I grew up in Elizabeth, and that was a transfer from one rabbi type to the next.
Right.
And if there was not enough people, then,
Right, so then the Shiloh becomes also, which I didn't, it's got to be written somewhere. I would assume that the oldest son gets the position. So you had this in the Brisker, right? When the Brisker Rav died, so the two brothers said, well, what's going on? They also happened in one Hasidic two, right? Then Rav Arila, it's a break off or something. It's two brothers. Is it Tamer? Oh, no, it's Tamer too, right? I mean, nowadays you have it, right? You have the square.
I think it was a son in law.
What? Of what? Rav Arila, yes, he had this whole crazy thing with that. Now they're separate, they don't talk to each other. They'll have dreams. So you have the same thing. So the question is, does the older son get it? So the Isha Yisrael, which is the Stipla Goyen's son, they asked him a lot of these different shilas. So he says, Shash Yerosa Limonos as Beno, Sheith Palabi Makomo, Harishus Beyada. That he gets to decide who gets to do this. V'ena Tzibra Yochel Limchois. And the Tzibra really can't say anything about this. Right, I don't know if this is exactly the disciple. This is somebody who contemplated this. The name of the disciple, yeah. But he's not. It's interesting. The disciple's son had never had a position as a Rosh Yeshiva anywhere. But he actually went on in the next halacha. So this comes up, obviously, as we saw. This really comes up a lot more by Rosh Hashanah. Right, the Mishnah Berurah, he doesn't really write about this specific case on Rosh Hashanah. But who gets to be the Baal Tokeah, so different halachas like that. So, to end off, I just wanted to do, I guess we'll do it outside, two different shilas in the Orchas Chaim. Orchas Chaim is the Rav Mitzpink, the Spinker Rav. And he wrote a compilation, which is very good, of different tshuvas. And it's not a sefer that I have, so I can't say it's my favorite sefer. But Baruch Hashem, I found it in the yeshiva today, and they let me make a photocopy. And the Seichemet, unfortunately, they didn't have in the yeshiva. But I got a green copy of it today from Rabbi Grunwald. I actually had it in Bnei Yeshurun today. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's not that stuff.
No,
right, it's somebody else. Yeah. It's pretty modern. Yeah. So I was wondering what the shilas. I wanted to ask Rami Neuberger. So they had the Seich Hamed in the Bnei Yeshurun. So I wanted to go to my office quickly and make a copy of it, but it says you're not allowed to take it out of the I felt bad to take it out. I said, who's going to read the Stechemet on Rosh Hashanah? But I still felt bad. So that's why it's not on your sheet. But the Orchus Chaim is. And the Orchus Chaim discusses a very interesting case. The case is as follows. The case is, so he quotes in the name of the Eshel Avram, which is on the Shulchan Aruch, the following thing. That he quotes the Maharami Rutenberg as follows. The Echad Shehichzik lehis Palal Musaf v'yamim Naraim. The Achakach Hichzik lehachig, right, and he goes away for some reason, which we'll see what the potential reason is, for 5 years. And now he comes back, and all of a sudden, can you believe it? Somebody else is chazan in the shul. After 5 years of him not being chazan, and he wants it back. Who gets it? So this goes back and forth between different shales of shuvas. Who would get the position in this case? Right? And so the question is, why did he leave? If he left because of an onus reason, right? Let's say, Rahman al-Islam, he had a parent that was sick, and they told him, he gets the telegram, your parent is going to unfortunately pass away any minute, and he runs there, and he comes back 5 years later, Baruch Hashem, miraculously the parent lived, and he says, listen, this was my parnasa, you think I wanted to go there? I had no choice, it was onus. So then maybe, but if he's going there for parnasa, maybe it'd be a different reason, meaning you left your parnasa here to go find a better shul, now you want to come back, what a chutzpah, you can't do that. And then the second shaila is, I think maybe it's Shailos HaTshuvos Rabbi Akiva Eiger, I'm not sure. And he says that, this is an interesting case. So you have two different chaburas, two different groups. One of Ashkenazim, we'll call them the Yekes, and one people from Poland, the Chasidim. The Akal of Poland, Hayel Lahem, Balad Tfilos. So the Chasidish Shul, which I guess the Ashkenazim were a part of, they had basically, Chasidish Chazonim. Balad Tefilos, Mulsachim Shanim, right? They had the Chazaka for many, many years. Harav V'Ke'es, all of a sudden, Baruch Hashem, the Chabura of the Ashkenazim, of the Yekes, they made themselves, Banu Lahem Beis Knesset Mechudash. They have a new shul. And now they build this beautiful new shul. And now, let's say, for argument's sake, it seems here that there were at least two Chazanim from the Polish shul. And now they want to be Chazans in the Ashkenazi shul, right? In the Yekes shul, right? So maybe, quite possibly, because there were already people that were yekes in their shul, the Hasidic knew they had some negunim of the Altaheim, and they were smart, but they didn't just see Hasidic shatun, so they knew everything. However, what do they write? In this new shul that these people are breaking off and going to, they have a specific doctrine that says the people who daven for the Yamin have to be Ashkenazim, they have to be yekes, right? So what's the halacha? So he paskins here that no, the halacha is very simple. The halacha is we go according to the person that they built the shul, then it has to be a yekesh shul. And because it was a breakaway, even though it was a breakaway of the chassidish shul, the chazaka does not go with it to the new location. I don't know, this would probably not go as far as if a shul, let's say not even closed down, but a shul, they decide the whole shul picks up, let's say Rabbi Riskin, right, and he gets his entire shul to pick up and to move to Eretz Yisrael. And now they move to Eretz Yisrael. And now the guy that was davening in the shul, wherever shul he was in, Lincoln Square, let's say, so now he wants to daven in Efrat. And nobody wants him to daven anymore in Efrat. Why? Because in Efrat, they don't call it Efrat. They say Efrat. And this guy doesn't daven that way. So the question is, would everybody have the chazak? That would be a good question. You could ask Rabbi Riskin, okay? I don't know what the answer would be. Then at the end he discusses a much more difficult question about Yerusha. So basically what we've seen is the following thing. We've seen that when it comes to just to end off our halachas of a chazan, so the last halachas that we learned of a chazan, the importance of a chazan, right? Don't get me wrong, a chazan is very important. And so much so that his position is somewhat guarded, and that he potentially his son could take over that position. Where do we get this from? The Ramah, we think, comes from a Mefurish Pashuk in the Torah that talks about the Malachim and the Gemara and Horius, about the Amelech's sons take over in certain cases. But the Rashi said it's only if he's Hagan. So we saw the Aruch HaShulchan question the different cases where a Chazan's son could really take over. If he's getting paid, he says, no, it can't be. If he's getting paid, then the Kehillah can decide who they want.
Didn't say he's capable
without pay. Yeah, he didn't say, what? Yeah, he can take it without pay, right. He can take it without pay for sure. And, right, so, and then those different cases. Then we discussed about a Chazakah. meaning how strict do we get on the chazan, and how much does he have to position? In fact, there's also a tshuva that I didn't quote over here about what happens in the case where you have many times Shabbos, you have a Baal Tekeah, so you have every year they split it up, right? The first day, Hartstein blows shofar, and the second day, Greenberg blows shofar. So now what happens, Nebuch? Hartstein the first day, it's Shabbos, and now the second day, so who gets to do it, Hartstein or Greenberg, right? There's a big shaila in the poskim. It's discussed many different shuvas go different ways. Who has the chazaka? It's a... That what? How do you paskin? Well, that's not... So the question is, what would be the halacha? On one hand, you blow shofar midiraisa, so maybe it should be midiraisa goes the first. Oh no, maybe it's the second, because that's the day. Different trials is based on this. It's a very interesting thing, just to get us to be Messiah, the union of chazan, and we see here that this can actually be an union of Yerusha, so we shouldn't think of it. It's a very, very lofty position, and if a person goes up to down for the Amud, halachically, he's called the chazan, right? So you should realize what he's taking with that, all the different halachas that we discussed when it comes to chazan. Now we'll get to more nitty and gritty. We'll be discussing next week Yishtabach.